Jake from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And today we're going to be talking about Season 44, Episode 14, John Mulaney and Thomas Rhett, the episode from March the 2nd, 2019.
Yes, Mulaney and Rhett, back again.
That's right.
Finally.
The people have been clamoring, Mulaney and Rhett.
My God, the people have just been adamant about
that's
this.
Right, that's right. This is John Mulaney's second time hosting, but he, of course, goes way back on SNL.
Yes.
He was a writer on the show for...
Back in the olden days.
For a long, long time.
Yeah. And, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but like, it seems like he got a few sketches that he's been trying to get on the show for a while.
It seems like it. This show had a definite John Mulaney stamp on it.
It stunk of Mulaney.
I thought it was a lovely odor of Mulaney. It was
a fragrance.
Had a nice lilac waft to it.
Yes, the air was thick with Mulaney.
That's right.
But it was good. Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, a couple of sketches. Well, we'll talk about it later. But there was one sketch in particular, very New York centric sketch that was like, oh, this is pure Mulaney.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later.
All right. So shall we get into it? Do we have anything to cover before we dive into the show? Any sort of news or things like that?
No, I don't think so. Do we?
Okay.
We should write down like SNL news and like do that at the top.
Yeah, but, maybe we should. Maybe we should.
But guys, call in. Let us know. No one's calling.
Okay, no one's calling.
Well, we tried.
All right, yeah. No, don't say we never offered.
We tried. We put it out there, people.
Yeah, we're going into the cold open, which, surprisingly enough, was the Michael Cohen testimony before Congress.
What?
I know. I mean, who ever could have seen this coming, that they'd bring Ben Stiller back as Michael Cohen testifying before Congress?
Gasp.
I mean,
that was a left turn.
I know. Well, that was the big news story of the week. I don't know if you listened to the testimony or watched the testimony.
No, I dipped in and out, and I caught up through memes online.
I went,
like everybody else.
I went hardcore. I was like listening to it on NPR on my way into work, and then I was listening to it all day at work, which I listened probably more than was healthy.
Yeah. Did it affect your mind in any way? Are you okay?
I think honestly, I doubt the testimony, the real life testimony, changed anybody's mind. I think the people who were inclined to dislike Michael Cohen and Donald Trump had that opinion validated, and I think the people who were inclined to like him and Trump had that opinion validated.
It really is insane. Like in any other time, any other presidency, this would be like just historic damning, it would just be like historic damning evidence, or just total, you know, chaos. But
it's nuts because you're literally like, just well, what is it going to take? What is the breaking point?
I honestly think like it would have to be like Trump being like agreeing with people like against who want like, you know, tougher gun laws restricted, like something that the Democrats would want Trump to be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then that's when Trump supporters would be like, I can't support him anymore.
I don't know. I mean, because
he wants stricter gun laws. Nah,
that 30% of people that he carries, I just don't think there's ever much of anything he could do to lose them.
Yeah, he'd have to like spit on their babies or something.
Yeah,
and even then, that would be like, well, no, he's anointing my child.
Yeah,
or something.
But anyway, so we had Ben Stiller as Michael Cohen testifying before Congress. There was a line he said, the first time I testified, I was also under oath, but this time I really mean it. which that was the thing that the Republicans were really hammering him for, because he has been convicted of lying under oath
to
Congress.
I'd also like that line that he threw in where he said, I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I was like, oh.
I'm cold and I'm alone, lying naked on the floor.
That's like something we would do. Throw the 90s reference.
A little Natalie Imbruglia there.
Yeah, I like that. It's like
with the torn.
Yeah, it's like, well done.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I don't want to say we influenced that with our constant reference of 90s songs, but like, I like to think we did.
Yeah, it spoke to us.
Yes.
Spoke to us. I also enjoyed when they talked about Michael Cohen writing a check to Stormy Daniels, the payoff money, the hush money.
Yeah.
And they flash the check on the screen, and it's a Looney Tunes check.
Right.
And he literally writes "Love the boobs" in the four section.
It was really quick, but like I caught that. I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
I thought that was cute. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was nice. And like, even though the Ben Stiller thing wasn't a surprise that they'd bring him on, what was a surprise was the other guest cameo guy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Wait,
do you want to say who it was?
That was a big, I don't know where I was going with that.
You were going all in on the fanfare.
I was. It's Bill Hader. Bill Hader came out.
Bill Hader as Jim Jordan.
As Jim Jordan. And I was like, oh, I forgot how much I enjoyed Bill Hader.
Oh, breath of fresh air having Bill Hader back on the show.
My lord and butter. He really was. He was just like, we were just talking about on the last episode how Bill Hader, we miss him. And apparently the people at SNL heard us.
They heard us. Lauren got on the horn. And he was like, Bill, the people want you to come back to the show.
The SNL nerds, they demand it. They clamored for
That's
it.
What they want. Sure. And I'm all about making them happy.
Yes. So thank you, Lauren.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
If you want to give us tickets to the show sometime, that'd be cool, too.
That would be cool. You know, the season's not over yet. We're warming up soon.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier for us to get into the city.
That's right. Spring is upon us. Climate change is real.
We're supposed to get a huge snowstorm tonight.
Yeah. But, there's that. Yeah.
But you know, sometime in the near future, it will warm up.
And if you want to give us jobs, that'd be great, too.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You know, writing staff.
That would be cool.
I'll sweep up. You know, whatever.
You could just make this into the official SNL podcast.
Right.
And it's like, we want just these two guys to record a show every Sunday and tell us everything we did wrong.
We will happily do that for a paycheck.
That's right.
We will leave Frank Ablawi in a heartbeat.
That's right. We will sell Frank down the river. Yeah. Love you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Hey.
But let's see. We also had Kate McKinnon as Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's now a congresswoman in Florida, which I don't think I realized before these hearings.
I didn't honestly. I
either didn't know that or I'd forgotten that. And I enjoyed that when they introduced her, they said, hold your groans. And I was like, yes, that's the correct reaction to Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Indeed.
And we had Ego Nwadim showing up as Omarosa for real quick.
Oh, no, she wasn't Omarosa. She was the that other.
Oh, didn't they say she was Omarosa?
They said she was, but he was like, oh, no, actually, I'm not. Because there was that whole thing where they're trying to prove that person wasn't racist.
Okay.
So he said, oh, her name is Omarosa. He's like, oh, no, I
missed that in my note-taking. I just heard the name Omarosa, and I was like, oh, she's playing Omarosa. I wrote it down that way because I'm horribly racist.
Congratulations, you're racist.
And by the way, as long as we're talking about my racism, I should probably jump back and issue a late correction or a retraction of something I said on the podcast a couple episodes ago.
Oh, what was that?
We got on the subject of the 1980s version of The Odd Couple, where they had Felix and Oscar were black. And I said that Flip Wilson played Oscar in that. I was mistaken. It was actually Desmond Wilson, I believe. Actually, I need to look this up again just to make sure that I'm not accidentally identifying the wrong person. I mixed up my black actor's name, Wilson.
Right. You thought it was Flip Wilson. It was actually Desmond Wilson.
Right.
I think was there another black Wilson?
I'm now very paranoid about this.
Black people, call in. Let us know.
Yeah.
Please. Okay. But also, there were also, who else was also in this sketch? Heidi Gardner.
Heidi Gardner, yes.
She was great, and I forget her. I should write these stuff. Wow, we are horribly unprepared today. Sorry about that. And also, of course, Melissa Villaseñor as AOC, the great AOC. Yeah, I thought this, and of course, Keenan as...
Oh, yeah, Keenan is the big guy running the show. I didn't write down the name of his...
We don't know politics. Person.
I listened to all this on the radio, so I didn't have faces to go with names, and I remember faces much better than names, obviously.
Right.
And I'm horribly racist.
Yes.
I got a lot of handicaps, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. All right. I looked it up right now. So Alex Moffat played Mark Meadows, who brought out a black woman to stand behind him, and that black woman was Lynn Patton. So that's who Ego Nwodim was in the sketch. Alex Moffat said, Trump has a black friend and her name is Omarosa. And of course that's Lynn Patton.
Okay. So, and it was Demond Wilson on The New Odd Couple in the 80s. and I don't think I know him from anything else.
I don't think he's been in much.
Yeah. D-E-M-O-N-D.
DeMond.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
All right. But, all right. So, racism aside, what'd you think of this opening cold open?
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great, honestly. It was...
Yeah,
it runs into the problem we usually run into in Trump world is reality is so absurd, it's very difficult to parody.
Yeah, very much so. And it ran kind of long, too. It was, mm-hmm. Oh, all right, so update. Yeah, DeMond Wilson, of course, he was Lamont in Sanford and Son. That was a pretty big deal.
All right.
So there you go. All right, so as far as...
I never watched Sanford and Son.
What? Sanford and Son was hilarious.
It was a little before my time.
So it was before my time, too. They still ran the reruns.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I Love Lucy was before your time. Do you have time to watch that?
I did.
There you go. Well, hello, racist. How about that? Did you watch The Honeymooners? That was before your time.
I haven't seen much of The Honeymooners, honestly.
Honeymooners is pretty good.
But I know they did a black version of The Honeymooners as well.
Oh, they did. Oh, well, yeah. well, you don't have to
watch. So now it all comes full circle.
You don't have to watch that.
I'm going to have to do some work on myself after this show. I've had a breakthrough. Had a little moment of clarity.
Got to relieve some reflection.
And, wow. My apologies to DeMond Wilson and everyone in the Wilson family.
Thank you.
I don't think he's related to Flip Wilson. I'm going to assume not, because Wilson, very common name.
Not all Wilsons.
Yeah.
Man.
But.
You're going to come in tomorrow in like a dashiki.
That's all, right. I'm going to go the MacGruber route.
Be all woke. Like, wow.
So do you have anything else to say about the opening, My Fresh Fly Brother?
Don't. Please don't. it ran, I mean... It seemed kind of long. This was like almost like a 9-minute sketch. Like,
was it that long?
Yeah, I checked the YouTube. It was like 9 and change. I guess. Did it usually go that long? That really?
That seems long.
Yeah, but other than that, it was okay. It was, you know, ebbs and flows. It was, I don't know. It was okay.
Yeah.
All okay. Right, and all right. So the monologue, John Mulaney.
John Mulaney coming out.
Pure Mulaney.
Just pure. Honestly, if this show had just been an hour and a half of John Mulaney doing stand-up, I would have been perfectly satisfied with that.
Yeah. So basically his Netflix hour.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you want.
Plus another like 20 minutes.
Yes.
In there. I would have been cool with that. They did, you know, my favorite thing is whenever they have a stand-up host, they give him a hand mic for the monologue.
Hand mic.
Because it's like Dumbo with his feather. You got to have the hand mic.
I've done stand-up without a mic, and it is weird.
It is so weird. You don't know what to do with your hands.
Yeah. Like, I usually just kind of put them in my pocket, and I do big hand gestures from time to time, like an Italian woman. But like, for the most part, you want a microphone, because you just don't know what to do with your hands.
Yeah, and they've been doing this for a while. They do it when Aziz Ansari has hosted.
Yeah.
Should I do a preempt?
I think he's okay now.
Okay.
But when CK hosted,
when CK hosted, he had the hand mic. When Amy Schumer hosted, I believe she had a hand mic.
Right. Mulaney too.
Yeah, and Mulaney, and I just always love it. It amuses me to no end because I know there's no technical reason they have to do it because the regular hosts don't have hand mics, or the non-stand-up hosts, I should say. Right. I shouldn't say that they're regular.
you know the.
I mean, stand-ups are weird people, but...
We're an odd bunch.
Yes.
But yeah, the civilians.
The civilians, yes.
They don't get mic. Chappelle got a mic.
Chappelle, yeah.
Yeah, so you're a comic, you need a mic. And Mulaney set a lot of New York City references in it.
Yeah.
Chock full of New York.
He talked about the New York subways. He talked about the siren sounds.
Yeah.
He talked about...
We had that Woody Allen story.
Oh, yeah, the Woody Allen story. That was amazing.
It was pretty great.
His dog was leading their... What kind of dog did they... Or his wife was leading their dog around in a stroller.
Yeah, because they have like this old... Like a pit bull? Not a pit bull. Good God. That's a different type of New York.
A bulldog.
Yeah, that's me.
And it doesn't walk very well or something, and so she pushes it around on the stroller, and she's pushing it around the city on the stroller, and then they stop by a cab, and then Woody Allen and Sun Yi get out of the cab, and they all just stare at each other.
They say, none of this makes sense, or none of this is right.
And, you know, she's stopped in her tracks because she's seeing Woody Allen and Sun Yi Brevin, and they stop in their tracks because it's a woman pushing a dog in a stroller.
And then they both say to each other, none of this is right.
Yeah.
And he talked about police sirens, how the police sirens have a certain noise, and he likes the old police sirens of, like, the 40s.
The slower, that.
That...
Yeah, and it's just
he says it's like it sounds like an old gay cat was dying.
Yes, yes.
In his words,
he's just such an incredible stand-up. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm just every time I watch him or listen to him, I'm just more impressed by him.
Yeah, he's
the writing is so good, the performance is so good. Yeah.
He gets compared to Seinfeld a lot, and like I can sort of see it. Like people say he's like the young new Seinfeld.
I can see that.
But I think he's more like performance, like you say. Like he moves a lot more. He has a lot more body movement,
and I think he's quirkier than Seinfeld.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like he had that one story about how he used to do cocaine because apparently he used to have a big drug and alcohol problem. And he had that one joke where he's talking about like how cocaine won't make your girlfriend come back to you, but she will worry about you. And in the end, I mean, isn't that the same thing?
Right. Like,
what's the difference?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was
like a great joke.
Just a great, solid stand up set. I mean, anytime Mulaney does stand up, I'm there.
Yeah, very much so. After the thing. Yeah. I'm a little off today. I apologize.
What they call the monologue.
That's it.
It's a very technical term.
Right.
But,
all right, fancy pants with your knowledge. All right. But yeah, so the first, goddamn, the sketch after the monologue. What the hell is wrong with me today? I'm sorry. I am not high.
Should we pause? Do you need a minute?
No.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
No, I'm fine. Let's do it.
All right.
Take
a sip of water.
Okay.
So the first sketch, it was a...
So you said first sketch too.
Well, I think that's what they typically call. You got the cold open, you got the monologue, and then it's the first sketch.
Okay.
Because the cold open, I mean, technically is a sketch, but it's not... And technically, it is the first sketch, but they usually call it the first sketch. I mean, I guess that's what I have it in my notes. So you see, in my notes.
Oh,
see, first sketch.
All right, I stand corrected. I stand down.
I mean, I'm fine with that terminology. I think that's a common terminology.
Yes, it's like musical guesting.
So yes.
So the first sketch is a game show. What's that name?
And this is one that they've done at least twice before, from what I could uncover in my research.
I totally didn't know that until
really. You didn't remember this sketch?
I didn't remember it at all.
Okay. Well,
I gotta go back in the archive.
I did a little research because I knew they'd done this sketch before, and they did it back in season 36. With Paul Rudd. This was in 2010.
The Rudd.
And they had later a celebrity edition with Justin Timberlake and Lady Gaga in 2011.
Oh.
So, and it's very similar to this. It's a game show where you got people on there, and they're able to name obscure celebrities.
Okay.
And then they bring out somebody in their life.
Right.
Whose name they do not know. And I relate to this sketch because, as I said earlier, I am very bad with names myself.
No, I agree. Like, you know? I feel like I could name people from like SNL cast from like years ago, like people from the Dick Ebersol years.
Mm-hmm.
I have people who I work with at my job right now who I've talked to for years.
Yeah.
I do not know their names.
And now it's like way too late. It's too awkward.
You really can't ask. It's like, hey, you, what's going on, fella?
Hey, there's the guy.
There he is. What's going on?
I can think of like at least two times in the last week where I have run into somebody that I know, that I've known for some time, and I blanked on their name. And in one of those instances, I went on Facebook on my phone so I could look up this person's name.
Wow. That is real.
I'm not going to say who it was.
Why is your phone on my Facebook page right now?
No reason. It's you just have a really nice profile picture up. Otto.
What?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, John Minus.
Sorry.
That's not my name. Son of a.
We should play that Ting Ting song now.
Oh, jeez. Ting Ting. Oh, you go. That's not my name. Remember that, guys?
Wow. I love that song. That was a great jam.
It's a great jam. Great jam.
Yeah, that's right. But this was a sketch that Bill Hader always did. Bill Hader as a game show host, you can't do better than that. He's wonderful. And I Well, okay, let's talk a little about this specific version of it, and then I can give you a little backstory on the origins of the sketch, because I uncovered some interesting info about that.
Oh, wow. Oh, we're going to go deep.
We're going to go deep. This is why I was late to the recording today. I was like 20 minutes late to the recording, and I sent Darren a text, and I'm like, I'm sorry I'm running late. I'm doing research. And
that's like, what?
Yeah, and he's like, what?
I just come, I barely have notes. I just saunter into the studio and just like, what, I wing it. But I like this sketch quite a bit. So it's basically, like John said, they show a picture of a celebrity, but like, oh, who is John Legend's wife? And they're like, they know that. It's like, Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah.
And, oh, this person was dating such and such. Oh, that's Little Xan, who actually is, I didn't even know who that was. That actually is.
The picture of the person looked familiar because he the face tattoos.
Right.
And I was like, I've seen that person before. I have no idea what that person's name is.
Yeah, and they know that was, oh, that's Little Xan. So then it's like, oh, you each win $5.
Right.
And so now for $250,000, here's a person you've met numerous times. And they said, oh, hey, man, I'm your best friend of 4 years, and I'm his girlfriend. What's my name? You've met me numerous times. We've sat together next to each other at weddings. What's my name? And they're like,
And he, of course, and John Mulaney, of course, cannot name his friend's girlfriend.
Right.
And God, I can relate to this so much. So hard.
I mean,
and then they both walk off and discuss John Mulaney. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Todd.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Todd. And he's, interesting choice that you chose to apologize to him instead of just.
Yeah, because like Bill Hader kind of plays it up as like the antagonistic kind of, prodder. He's like, prodding the situation.
And then for Cicely Strong's character, he's like, hi, I'm a partner at your firm, and this is my wife. You've talked to me at numerous company parties. What's her name?
It's like, oh. He's like, hey, you. And yeah, and they had like a weird side thing where like Cicely's character didn't support women.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, that's an interesting thing. But it didn't really kind of go anywhere. But I mean, I did like Hater. He's like, how he kind of prods people.
Yeah,
like,
Hater's great. Hit my mic.
Sorry about that.
For the last bit of the sketch, I was just writing down cool lines. Hater at one point says, I roll with a crew of problematic bachelors, and we call ourselves the squad.
Oh, yeah, because like Mulaney was like, well, what's the name of your wife's friend? It's like, oh, I'm not married.
Yeah.
I roll with some problematic.
And then at one point, they asked Cicely, like, what would you say to women out there? And I think then they asked the same question to Bill Hader. And he says, I wouldn't say anything. I would listen.
Yeah, yeah. And like, Bill Hader was like, pulling camera three, pulling on this. I wouldn't say anything. I would listen.
And then, for the final game, it was, Doug, these are three of your wives' bridesmaids, and they're all in bridesmaids' dresses. Right. It was Melissa Villas and Yorin, two extras, I guess, because I don't believe they had any dialogue.
No, yeah, they were extras.
He says, pick the one you would have the best shot with.
Right. And they would say, like, I'm so sure you don't know her name. I'll give you the last three letters of her name, and you still won't get
it. Yeah, and the last three letters are A-R-A. Right. And he's like, Kara, Tara,
Jara?
Jara. And
then, he said, you think her name is Jara?
And then they revealed that her name is Mara. And he says, I said Mara. Yeah, but you didn't know it.
It was pretty hilarious. And the great line I liked was when Mulaney was like, why are you doing this, man? What do you get out of this?
What do I get out of this? In a word, chaos. And this relates to, when I looked up one of these previous sketches on YouTube, the first comment, the top comment on there, and I think it had like 1K likes or something like that. It said, I read an interview with Bill Hader where he gave a backstory for with his character.
Right.
And I found the interview that Bill Hader did with Terry Gross on NPR. Okay. I think it's All Things Considered.
Yeah. Show? Oh, wow. You did your research.
I did. I went on a deep dive because. So the backstory of this is Bill Hader's host character, Vince Blake, is an independently wealthy guy who funds this show just for his own amusement. And he brings all these people on because he hates them and he wants to embarrass them. And the show doesn't even air. He just does it for himself.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, that is such a wonderfully specific and dark backstory for this character.
Wow. I'm impressed.
That's
great.
And it's hardly ever commented on the sketch, but once you watch the sketch with that in mind, it's all the funnier.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I'm like, wow, that is incredible.
I kind of wish they did this more.
Yeah. Yeah. I as near as I could find, they only did it in three. I couldn't find it on the SNL wiki, so I couldn't find more information about it. But they had three. They had one with Paul Rudd there, where they're bringing out. They brought out Kenan Thompson as his doorman,
right?
And he had no idea what his doorman's name was, even though he sees him every day.
Right.
The doorman knows everything about him. And Vanessa Bayer, they brought Kristen Wiig as the cleaning lady in her office, and she has no idea what the cleaning lady's name is.
Yeah. I mean, you're not a bad person if you don't know.
Some people are just bad with names.
Yeah.
I personally, I think very visually, and I remember faces much better than names.
Right.
And honestly, that's one of the things I love about Facebook, is it helps me constantly associate faces with names.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember some names much better because I'm on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, like, yeah, that's a real thing. It was, and at the end, they said, all right, well, join us next week when we have Todd to pick out to say if his cleaning lady has a son. And, what's it, Melania's like, no, she does not. And then, of course, Hader ends it with, he's 16 years old.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Yes. And they did an interesting variation on the Justin Timberlake Lady Gaga one, where they had Justin Timberlake. He remembers like obscure celebrities like MC Scat Cat from the Paula Abdul
video. I remember him, yeah.
And then they bring out Abby Elliott, and she's like, hi, I'm a woman that you slept with after your concert 2 weeks ago. What's my name?
Wow.
And Justin Timberlake has no idea. This is like during Justin Timberlake's single days, of course.
That's right. Of course. He's happily married man now.
Yes. And the joke was like Lady Gaga remembers all these obscure names perfectly.
Right.
You know, she's like, Alberto, the guy who was standing on side of the stage at my last concert, how are you doing? And then they bring out one of the other guys from NSYNC, not one of the real guys from NSYNC.
Oh, like Fatone or
something. It was Taron Killam dressed up as one of the guys from NSYNC, and he says, hi, I was in sync with you for years. I'm not you, I'm not Lance Bass, and I'm not Joey Fatone. Who am I?
Chris Kirkpatrick.
And that was the one.
He can get his ass kicked.
That was
for the Eminem fans out there.
That was really great.
Wow. Yeah, I think this might have been a sketch of the evening.
Great sketch. I think that was probably sketch of the night for me.
Yeah. All the other sketches were touch and go. Well, we'll talk about it. So next was the toilet seat death ejector.
Fake ad, yes. We had with the widespread problem of people dying on the toilet.
Right.
And it's so undignified.
Yes, not
to
classy.
Go that way.
You don't want to go out like Elvis.
Exactly. So this is a device that when you feel yourself starting to go, you just hit a button and it hurls you onto your bed,
right,
flushes the toilet, releases a lavender scent in the bathroom to get rid of any incriminating scents, and then dumps a book on top of you from the ceiling. So it looks like you were...
To imply wisdom.
To imply wisdom.
It's like, oh, so when people find it, like, oh, book, she was so wise.
Right.
And apparently I didn't notice until I looked it up, like, on my way here, but Mulaney was trying to get the sketch on for, like, 10 years, apparently.
Wow.
Apparently, yeah, he wrote this, like, sketch, like, back in 2009, and I think, like, he was trying to get it on, but I think it got cut twice. Mm-hmm. So
cut for time, or?
I gotta look it up. He said it was, like, I don't know if it was cut for time or it just didn't get approved, but he's been trying to get the sketch on since 2009, and, like, tonight was the night it got on.
So, basically, whenever John Mulaney comes on SNL now, he's settling old scores. This should have been on the show. It wasn't. I'm fixing that tonight.
All debts will be paid tonight. Because
when he hosted last year, he did a sketch called Diner Lobster, which was another thing that he'd written years before, or co-written with Colin Jost.
Yeah.
I watched a thing with Mulaney and Jost. They were talking about writing it. And
that Diner Lobster was a weird one.
That's a weird one. I can kind of understand why it didn't go, but it went over really well.
Yeah, I appreciate the effort in that one.
We'll have a little follow up on that later on this episode.
Stay tuned.
I thought this was funny.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know, flinging dead old people is what's not to like.
Right, and then at the end there has a little bit about how their pants are still down and they're like blurring out the genitals.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wait, they were reading the Bible, but their pants were still down? What's that about?
Ooh, that's bizarre.
But next we had Shark Tank Legal Edition.
This was
with just a sort of reality show thing with
like Shark Tank, but with
famous lawyers.
Famous lawyers: Alan Dershowitz, Rudy Giuliani, Michael Avenatti, and Jeanine Pirro
from Fox News, who we wouldn't know unless it was for SNL.
Right, and they throw in which I wasn't crazy about, but the Celino and Barnes guys,
jingle based attorneys.
Yes,
Celino and Barnes.
I wasn't crazy about. I felt like it kind of took away from this sketch, but we'll talk about it.
I think you know this one. I mean, and then they bring in famous people who are having legal trouble. They had
Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft, who just had the massage parlor thing.
Yeah,
we had
Jesse Smollett.
Yes, we had Chris Redd as Jesse Smollett.
Yeah, I heard like gasps from the audience when he came out. Ooh,
because he was the guy from Empire who had the. God, how do we even explain that
story?
I don't even
know where to start with that.
That story's so nuts. Yeah, he was apparently beaten or
he came out saying he was beaten by people in MAGA hats and they threw bleach on him and a noose on him in Chicago.
As a hate crime.
And of course, everybody was like there to say that's terrible, that's horrible. But then as it came out, it seems, I don't know if it's been settled now.
I don't think it's been definitively settled, but it's looking a lot like he just set it up himself.
Yeah, like the whole thing was staged, possibly
and these were guys who like worked as extras on Empire, and he apparently paid them with a check.
Yeah,
and I don't see how do you do that and not expect to be found out? I don't get that.
Yeah, it's just not looking good. And I mean, hadn't been written off the show yet, but he's been written the last two episodes of this season.
Uh-huh. Do you watch Empire?
Not really. Okay. No.
I mean, I've never watched it.
I've seen a couple of it. It's very, what's the word? Like very, like I guess audacious or something. It's like one of those like over the top drama shows, like a Dallas or like a Falcon. Mm-hmm. That's how update I am with
Falcon Crest.
Yeah, it's just like
That's for all the kids out there. Yeah. We're the only SNL podcast that's dropping the Falcon Crest references.
I was trying to think of a show that's like, you know, like a very like a big soap opera.
You could say Dynasty. They've revived Dynasty.
Okay, Dynasty then. I'll say that. It's like, but yeah, it's like that.
I catch the last 5 minutes of Dynasty right before Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on Friday.
Okay, all right, fine. Then that. But yeah, it's like a very big soap opera-y, like over the top show, like, you know,
like Falcon Crest.
Like Falcon Crest. You're not going to let that go, are you?
I am not. It's too much fun.
All right. The thing is, I never even watched Falcon Crest. I don't even know where that came from.
I know is it was one of those nighttime soaps in the 80s.
Yeah. Like. But, you know, like, women throwing drinks in people's face, like, how dare you?
Right.
People sleeping with other people and murder.
Lots of affairs.
Yeah, backstabbing.
Bedroom shenanigans.
Intrigue. And
business deals gone wrong. And
like, how dare you?
Backstabbing.
You haven't heard the last of me.
And it's all sexy, sexy people.
But it's like that, but done to a hip-hop track.
Right.
That's Empire.
Right.
But yeah. So, in conclusion, I have not seen Empire. But
Jesse Smollett was
he was in that
in the sketch. I thought this was okay. I thought it had kind of the same problem as the Cake Boss sketch they did on the Don Cheadle episode. They just had like a few too many characters in there.
Yeah, the Celino and Barnes, they didn't need them.
I mean, we had like four attorneys before the Celino and Barnes. So it's like five judges, and so it's like we're introducing all those. Just rule of three, people.
Yeah,
just do rule of three.
I mean, technically, yes. I watch Shark Tank. I like it a lot, but there are four judges.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that would make sense. But like you said before, with the Family Feud, like you just cut it shorter and make three judges. And just don't address it.
Yeah,
cut
the least interesting judge.
Yeah, because actually, like with the Robert Kraft and Jesse Smollett, they didn't really have any lines. Like all the lines and most of the sketch went to the judges.
Yeah, I mean, because we had the host as Alan Dershowitz. We had Pete Davidson as Michael Avenatti, I believe.
Avenatti.
And we had Kate McKinnon as Rudy Giuliani, which is always fun to see.
Yes.
I mean, anytime we get the Kate McKinnon cross-dressing as a weird troll man.
I'm there for that.
That's right. That's right.
And strong as Pyro. And it was... Kyle Mooney and Moffat as Celino and Barnes, which I really felt like they didn't need to be there.
I kind of enjoyed them doing everything to the same jingle. It was, I mean, this sketch, it definitely had its moments. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, all right.
Yes. It was a little overstuffed, but I still enjoyed it.
Okay, that's right. And so next one was the unknown caller with the Chad character, or Pete Davidson's Chad character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's just, he just greets everything with just utter indifference.
Yeah.
It's sort of parodying the beginning of Scream, where he just gets a call from an unknown caller, and it's like the serial killer guy in a mask.
Right.
who's threatening, and it's like, oh, I've got your girlfriend out there, and he's like, oh no, she's just some girl I hooked up with 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, just some girl I banged. And all right, yeah, like he's basically very deadpan and just no emotion, and it just kind of indifferent to everything.
And I enjoyed when it's like, oh, step over to the porch, turn on the porch light, and then he turns on the wrong light.
Yeah, he doesn't know which light to turn on. Like, no, that's the driveway. That's the basement. No, try the other one.
I enjoyed the serial killer getting sidetracked with this stuff. Yeah. And then, like, at the door, there's a pizza delivery guy, right. And Pete Davidson's character just takes the pizza and doesn't even register that the pizza driver is stabbed
and he's
putting
like
a bloody handprint on the on the front door, and he's just eating the pizza, and then the killer gets distracted by, you're eating the pizza on the white couch, you should really just get a plate for that.
It's like,
you're gonna spill, and then he knocks over the rest of the pizza while getting the plate.
I mean, I don't know, the sketch was
I thought this sketch was literally just okay.
Yeah.
I've never been too into the character.
Yeah, as I was watching the sketch, I was acting like Chad. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because we've seen him do this before, and it's pretty much the same thing every time, so I'm not too into it.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, we like Pete, but yeah, that sketch was like,
eh. Yeah, yeah.
And then next up was the Black Wedding sketch with the Cha-Cha Slide.
That's the name of the song.
That's the name of
the song. Okay, I know this song. I had no idea what the name of the song was, and I was going to look it up.
You've never been to a black wedding, have you? I mean, I think they play it at, you know, other regular weddings.
I'm
not
legit,
regular,
you
know, white weddings. Wide weddings.
Not regular. I'm not even touching that.
You know, original flavor weddings. That was what? Wide weddings.
Okay, I'm just gonna ring that's just a blanket ring of the problematic bell for this episode.
I say?
Because we're going very racial, and I just want to cover our asses.
Okay, all right, fine. Guys, if you were offended by that, call in and let us know.
But we had John Mulaney and Ego as a couple, and they're coming to the wedding, and they're doing the Cha-Cha Slide, which was a song I know, but you know, a name, so of course I don't remember.
It's basically like the black people's chicken dance.
Yeah,
the wedding, or
but much cooler.
Yeah,
or you know, the more current Electric Slide.
Right, Electric Slide. I think is both at black people and white people weddings, but Cha Cha Slide is.
I've definitely seen white people doing the Electric Slide.
See, and
yeah,
Cha Cha Slide is a blacker version of Electric Slide.
Slide to the left,
slide to the right. Break it down now.
I mean, it's a cool song. It's a catchy song.
It's very catchy.
And
but yeah, the whole premise of the sketch is John Mulaney not feeling like he'll fit in. They didn't bring up race, but you just kind of knew because everybody else in the place was black, and he was the only.
I think it's
guy.
Better to leave that unspoken.
Yeah,
you know?
But like as it turns out, he's more like he knows all the people there, and he's more blacker than he lets on.
More blacker?
Yeah, is that the right word? Is that like
you could say blacker or more black?
Oh, all right, fine. Don't tell me what I can and cannot say. Oppressor. I'll say what I choose. But
can you call me a colonizer too?
Colonizer. Oh, that's what I meant to say.
Go Black Panther on me.
I haven't seen Black Panther in a minute. I should have said colonizer. God, I fucked it up. That's gonna bug me.
Wow.
All right. So. Happy Black History Month, everybody.
I can preemptively feel Frank cringing as he listens to this episode
He'll be fine. It'll be fine. So anyway, in this sketch, he knows all the people there, and he sees like somebody at the wedding that he went to Howard with.
Yeah.
And he knows all the dance moves, and
yeah.
Like, there's at one point where everybody's supposed to bring out their church fans and...
Yes. And she's like, I was supposed to bring a church fan? And he's like, oh, I've got a spare. Here you go.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, massively prepped for this wedding. And
yeah.
He knows everybody there, and he knows the deal, and... Yeah. I enjoyed it because it really went against your expectations.
Yeah, very much so. Like, I didn't know how it would go, but it's like, oh, yeah, he knows everybody there, and, like... He watches Power on Stars, which is a very black show. And
I think I missed that reference in the sketch.
Oh yeah, when Leslie Jones came up, it's like, oh, you see Power? You see Power on Stars? It's like, oh, I missed it.
Okay.
And then it's like, oh yeah, you know, I've been having problems with my foot. And he was like, well, I'm gonna pray on it. And it's like, all right. But then it just kind of ended abruptly. It didn't really kind of go anywhere. The sketch.
I thought this was a solid sketch. I enjoyed it because I mean, it's always nice to have some unexpected element in the sketch, and this is certainly not like other sketches I've seen on SNL. So I appreciated it for that. And it's really nice to see Ego getting some more exposure on the show. Because she's been, like, she hasn't had a whole lot to do so far in the season.
Not a whole lot. She's been, like, here and there spots. But, yeah, like, this is probably some of the most stuff she's done.
I mean, this is probably, like, her biggest role to date.
I would agree.
I think.
Yeah, she did all right.
And, you know, and we're, like, halfway or more than halfway through the season.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess we are.
I mean, because this was episode 14. I feel like we should be getting a little more of her by this point.
Hopefully we will in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I'd just love to see her have, like, a really nice breakout sketch before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. So next up was Thomas Rhett, who I wrote down as Rhett Thomas. At some point, I confused it.
Rhett, like, comma, Thomas.
No, I just thought his first name was Rhett and his last name was Thomas.
He's got two first names.
Thomas Rhett Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought it was all right. I mean, we could talk about both of them. They're both okay. Mm-hmm. They're, like, pretty straight up performances.
I enjoyed him. He's country, but I liked him. He's more poppy than twangy.
Yeah, very much
The twangy thing can really irk me with country music. That's why I think
are you a fan of country music? Or?
Not a big one. I enjoy, like, sort of like country flavored rock and folk stuff. So southern, like, rock. Country adjacent.
Yeah, yeah. Like southern rock I like. Like I think I put this on Facebook years ago. Not years ago, maybe a year or two ago, where I was like, you know, I got to admit, Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd is an awesome song.
I never got too into the Lynyrd Skynyrd, honestly.
Well, they got some hits. Check it out. There's one song, Give Me Back My Bullets. It's kind of like a funkier song. Mm. And, like, Simple Man is just dope.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit it. It's a great song. But, yeah, as far as, like, straight up, like, country pop, I don't really follow that much.
Yeah.
Like, old school country, I like, you know, Johnny Cash. Is
yeah, sure. Here and there, sure. Of course, yeah, Johnny Cash is, like, classic.
Yeah, but, like, the newer stuff I do not follow. But, right. Yeah, I thought it was okay. He was, like, you know, it's pretty much straightforward. No bells and whistles, just straight up.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fine. I don't think I'm going to run out and buy his album, but I certainly enjoyed listening to him for the two songs that I did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something I found really distracting on his first number was his mic, which was still in the stand. It was just absurdly high.
Oh, really?
And it was, like, angled down, so it was, like, blocking half his face.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, it drove me nuts.
Was it like Lemmy from Motorhead, where it's, like, up and down?
It kind of was, yeah. Huh. It kind of was like that. I don't know if that was an intentional thing, but I'm amazed nobody from the show was like, hey, we really got to fix that.
Maybe that's how he wanted it. I don't know.
His second number, he had a hand mic, so that wasn't a problem.
These country singers, I don't know.
I don't know, but it was literally just blocking the bottom half of his face, and it does not look good. It just reminded me of, I mean, that's one of my pet peeves in comedy too, is when
the mic
people are blocking their face with a mic.
Huh.
You got to hold the mic a little way. You got to hold it low.
Consummate professional. You
need to. Yeah.
All right, and actually, at this point, that's when I noticed, like, the time was kind of, they didn't go over, but, like, I think at this point,
a lot of things were going long.
Yeah, some things were going long, like, the next thing that I wrote was Weekend Update, but, like, Weekend Update didn't start around until, like 12:15, and usually starts, like,
it seems like they've been pushing Weekend Update later and later, deeper into the show,
I
don't know if that's by accident or design, but it seems to be a thing that's happening.
Yeah. Maybe they're running late. I don't know. But Weekend Update. I thought it was okay. I mean, they talked about Cohen, about how he looks like a guy who shaves in his car.
That was a good line. I like, they were talking about how apparently Trump, part of Michael Cohen's testimony, they said that they intimidated Trump's old schools so that they would not release his SAT scores.
Right.
And they had a line that said, Trump lives closer to 920 Pennsylvania Avenue than 1600, which I thought that was a very clever line.
That took me a minute. I was it took me a minute because my SATs aren't very high. But once I thought,
I don't even remember what my SAT scores
were. Mine's weren't.
Names and numbers, they do not stick in my head.
Hulk not good with words.
That's right.
But like, yeah, that was a great line. That was a thinker, as we call it.
I enjoyed Michael Che talking about Trump and saying how he's getting more and more crazy until ultimately he's just led away in handcuffs, and he says, that's how I want to leave SNL.
That was a great
line. Love that. I really look forward to just hearing whatever Che has to say.
Classic Che.
Che.
Yay,
ladies.
Speaking of ladies, see what I did there?
Nice
then
transition.
We had Vanetta and Wylene, Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant come in as two... I guess
pig owners
and farmers, and I guess their whole thing was how like people who don't eat meat now because you know they don't want to kill pigs because they see pigs doing
amazing things like that. There was a pig who sold paintings in the news, and that was their pathway into the story into the segment.
Right. So their pitch was like all the pork and products that they kill and create, they were made by animals that are extremely dumb and we're not going to go into
or mean or bad or worthless. I mean, basically pigs that deserve to be killed and eaten.
Yes, that was their whole pitch. And I thought this was okay. Like, I noticed Kate McKinnon was breaking a lot, or both of them.
They open up this meat basket and it's got all these various types of ham and pork and all that.
Like,
and
actual meat.
And apparently the smell of the meat was really, really strong, and it was getting everybody, and so everybody was breaking a little bit.
Yeah, they were like, ooh, that's an interesting aroma.
So it kind of turned into an inadvertent pro-vegan sketch.
Yeah.
I mean, because they were just not making meat look tempting to eat.
No. Then they were like, oh, what about you, Colin? You a big beef boy? You a meat boy?
But they were having fun with it, which was kind of infectious.
And it was. I mean, I thought it dragged on a little bit, because they're basically doing the same thing, like, oh, this duck that we hear is dumb. This chicken was mean and stupid. But, I mean, for the most part, like, I saw they were really enjoying it. So I was like, oh, okay.
And it kind of reminded me of, I mean, I think they were just amused by how much they were breaking and stuff. And it reminded me of, like, a stand-up thing is there's comics find nothing more amusing than watching their friends bomb.
Best!
Because, I mean, when you're a comic, you see the same people at shows a lot of times. So you become very familiar with your friend's acts.
Absolutely.
And you know the beats of it. You know how a certain joke is supposed to go. You might not know it word for word.
Right.
But you're like, oh, he's doing this bit and he's leading into this. And so it really pops out to you when something goes wrong or when something doesn't go over the way it's supposed to. And that's when you really see what a comic is made of. I mean,
we enjoy that. We relish in others' failures.
And it's so much fun to watch. It's so much fun.
Oh my God.
Because it's something different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it's about.
Sometimes it's better than actual comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then Che had one great line about R. Kelly, about his unpaid child support. Which he said, which, you know, in his case, unpaid child support is also alimony.
Yep.
That got a big response.
I thought this was better Weekend Update than the last one, because it was really bad in the Don Cheadle episode.
Yeah, that was.
And honestly, it's getting to the point where I think the contrast or the between Che and Jost is so strong. I feel like Che is so much stronger than Jost.
I'll give you that.
I really think they should give Che a shot at just doing Weekend Update by himself.
I mean, but he seems, I don't know. But then again, maybe the fact that he's so strong, it comes from the fact that he's very comfortable and with Joseph. So maybe you need him there to make
Joseph's his security blanket or something? Or
yeah, maybe.
It's his hand mic in the monologue?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, look at that. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's the fact that he's there and they're able to riff is, because like, I've done like, you know, sketches and stuff with people and I'm better. Like, a lot of times I'm better with somebody else than I am by myself. So maybe it's that. I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like Jost is kind of becoming a load again.
Ooh.
And, I mean, his last joke, I didn't write down his last joke, but it got literal groans. It was like the very last joke of Update.
Oh, shit. I wish I wrote it down.
And I didn't write it down, but I just wrote down that it got groans, and then they ended it. And I was like, that's not a strong ending, dude.
All right. Or maybe Che wants Jost there because he looks good by comparison.
Maybe. I just feel like Jost's jokes are a lot more obvious, and he doesn't deliver them as well as Che. I don't know. Like, Jost was growing on me, but I'm getting kind of down on him again.
Wow.
So
just Jost bashing here.
I know. I don't like it, but it's how I feel.
He's just gonna,
and I am never going to lie to you, our listeners.
Wow, you're really breaking his heart.
I'm keeping it real.
Just gonna go home. He's just gonna go home and cry in the arms of Scarlett Johansson.
He's just gonna cry into Scarlett Johansson's chest.
Yeah. I hope you're happy. I hope you made Joe's cry.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
That would make me happy. I think that would.
I don't have much in life, but I have that.
Made
Joe's cry.
If I can make Joe's cry, wow, that would. I would put that on my resume.
Under special skills.
That would be.
So I see here.
I would put that in my intros. Here's like, our next comic mate, Colin Jost Cry. Please welcome John Trump.
That's your credit now?
That'll be my credit.
Put that in all my flyers. next sketch, the bodega bathroom sketch.
very New York. This is the one you were talking about.
Well, this is very
ultra New York.
Like, I mean, they use the term bodega. I feel like outside of New York, not many people know what a bodega is.
Yeah.
Or maybe LA.
It's like a convenience store.
Yeah. For those that are, it's like a 7-Eleven, but more urban, we'll say.
Yeah.
More hood. As kids. But yeah, that's what a bodega is. Spanish for store. It's like a convenience store, and they're all over New York City. And this is I had a feeling they would kind of do something like this just because I saw the Diner Lobster sketch.
Yeah.
And like how people responded to that. So I figured, I feel like they're going
to
do like.
This was a semi sequel to that. It was.
Yeah, a spiritual sequel.
That's a good way to put it.
The Diner Lobster sketch. And this was that.
We had John Mulaney and the other guy was Pete Davidson, and they asked for the key to the bodega bathroom, and it turns into this big elaborate musical number, very reminiscent of Willy Wonka.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, what happened was it's Pete Davidson and Chris Redd. John Mulaney's behind the counter, and Pete asks for the key to the bodega bathroom. We're like, oh my God, you sure you want to do that?
Right.
Because as anybody knows, you don't go to the bodega bathroom because it's
going to be in bad shape.
It's like a
gas station bathroom.
Very much so. So, of course, Mulaney gives him the keys to the bodega bathroom, which is attached to a cinder block. And then he has the bodega cat, which every bodega has.
Played by Kenan Thompson.
Played by Kenan Thompson. He's like, show him where the bathroom is. And of course, Keenan is in a cat costume with a top hat, and he sings like a Willy Wonka type style, like, you know, come with me.
Right.
And you'll see in a world of infestation.
And we had Melissa Villaseñor and Cecily Strong in roach costumes.
Yes.
Roach costumes, big theme for this season, apparently.
Yeah. Roaches are in now.
And
roaches are back.
Yeah, and in my notes, I have Cecily Strong in a roach costume. I still would.
damn! Holy... wow.
I'm just noting it. I'm keeping it real.
I'm just being honest, man. I'm sorry. Was that too real for you?
And we had Kate McKinnon come out as a Virgin Mary candle. Giant, round costume. And she sings Memories from Cats.
Yeah.
We had Oompa Loompas come out, literal Oompa Loompas.
But they weren't Oompa Loompas. They were Sour Patch Kids that were there for so long that they came to life.
Yes, yes.
And the toilet in the bathroom, like basically what happened was like the wall behind the bodega opened up to this huge bathroom.
Again, like the Diner Lobster, very elaborate sketch. All these costumes, all the set changes. Yeah. I mean, the technical people on SNL this week, they knock themselves out on this.
Yeah.
Because the walls part and then the bathroom, the toilet slides out.
And it's a huge toilet. And at one point, it starts to talk like Little Shop of Horrors style.
Uh-huh.
He's saying, feed
me. Yes, yes.
And it's...
John Mulaney is apparently a big musical theater nerd.
You can tell.
I mean, because we have Memories from Cats. The big finale was everybody singing Seasons of Love.
Yeah.
And then we find out that the guy running the bodega is leaving it to Charlie.
Yeah. It's like, all of this is yours, so Charlie.
It's the end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean... The cast is obviously having a ball with this.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if you're a theater kid, this sketch was for you.
Yeah, and I'm sure SNL's cast has a significant number of theater nerds
in it.
I mean, they've done too many theater nerd-type sketches for them not to be.
The overlap has to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, this sketch was so, like, audacious, and I couldn't hate it. I was like, all right, I got it.
I enjoyed this. I think I might have enjoyed this one more than Diner Lobster.
Oh, honestly. Interesting. Yeah. I gotta watch Diner Lobster again.
I think it's neck and neck for me. Yeah, I meant to check it out again, just to watch it with fresh eyes, but I didn't have a chance. I was too busy researching what's that name. But
that took up all your time.
And contemplating Cecily in that roach costume.
Oh,
and,
dear. All right, we're back to that now.
Yeah, well, I'm just throwing it out there.
Wow, is this your new thing now?
We might have seen the birth of a new fetish.
Your roach fetish? Oh, dear.
I want to mention a quick thing before we get to the next sketch. In one of the little interstitial bits... right before the next sketch, I think I spotted Mohawk stagehand. I think it looks like he. I had to rewind my DVR to make sure, okay. But it looked like he still had the mohawk, but it was like kind of combed down. So it was like sort of the
comb hawk.
Yeah, it was, and he. It looked like he was like consulting very closely with Kate McKinnon. So I was like, wait, is he a director or something? Is he? I need to know the deal of mohawk. Stagehand. I don't know if I should call him Mohawk Stagehand. Maybe he's just a Mohawk crew person.
We'll just call him Mohawk.
Mohawk.
Yeah, be sensitive.
Somebody listening to this has to know what the deal with Mohawk is.
Yes, people call in.
We need to find this out. Please tweet at us on the show page, on our private pages. We'll give those at the end of the show. Yes. But I want to talk to this guy. I want to find out what his deal is.
We want to know more.
I'm captivated by the mystery of Mohawk.
It's fascinating. Wow. Okay. All right.
So I just want to mention this.
A Mohawk sighting.
Another Mohawk sighting.
The plot thickens.
That's my new hobby, watching the show now.
Wow. I just imagine your apartment just covered in Mohawk.
It's like a beautiful mind thing. Yeah. I've got all these pictures. They're tied together with pushpins and string.
Red string.
And yarn. And I've got things circled. And
this goes all the way to the top.
The very top is a picture of Lorne Michaels. And
you're just up all night smoking cigarettes.
That's right. I'm just pacing back and forth.
Just coffee everywhere.
How do the people in movies have time to put up all those elaborate things?
PAs.
It's a big arts and crafts project.
Very much so.
It's like in movies where like somebody comes home and their boyfriend or their girlfriend, they've lit 10 million candles, and it's like, you can't light, you don't, first of all, nobody has that many candles.
Oh, wow.
Second of all, nobody lights that many candles unless you have like 20 crew people doing it.
Yeah, you need.
That's, because by the time you get to the last one, the first one's like half burned down.
I'm sure like some of those candles are like electric or something.
You would think. Just too many candles in movies. It's just like, as soon as you start thinking about it, the implausibility just starts.
Are we doing a candle podcast now?
We are. We're
are we
hi, Selena.
Are we encroaching on Selena's topics territory?
We are. I guess we kind of are.
Wow,
I'd love to hear Selena's take on this.
Yeah. Shout out to Selena Kopic.
Yeah. She has a candle podcast. What is the name of her candle
Two
podcast?
Two Wick Minimum.
Two Wick Minimum. Thank you. Thank you.
If you're a candle enthusiast, and apparently there are a bunch of them, check it out.
Yeah. Go do a search on Two Wick Minimum. And she started hers up, I think, just a little after we did ours.
Yeah.
And she's enjoying the heck out of it.
She's killing the candle game.
And very funny comic, too.
Absolutely.
So,
she's a hoot and half.
So, you know, go catch her at a club near you in New York City.
Indeed.
So
the final sketch, Cinema Classics.
Cinema Classics, 10 to 1 Lind.
Yeah.
This was also kind of a callback to a previous sketch that Kate McKinnon did when J.K. Simmons was hosting.
Oh.
And they did a parody of Casablanca.
Oh.
Do you remember this one?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, and they were parodying the end of Casablanca when it was Rick telling Elsa that she has to get on the plane.
Right.
And Kate McKinnon as Ingrid...
Lauren Bacall or Ingrid Bergman?
She was Lauren Bacall in this. She was who's the woman in Casablanca? Ingrid Bergman, right?
Just like Boogie and Bacall. Let me find out.
Yeah, I wanted to say... Elsa Lancaster, but that's Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh,
I haven't
seen Casablanca in a minute.
I'm
guys, call in again. I implore you.
I'm all turned around on any sort of names right now.
Ingrid Bergman.
Ingrid Bergman.
You're right.
Okay, and then the joke in that one was, you know, she as soon as he says like you get on the plane, instead of her hesitating, she's like, oh yes, I'll get on the plane right now, Rick. Yes, oh, is that the plane there? I'll get on it right now. And it's one of my favorite things that Kate McKinnon has ever done. So this was
really. Wow.
Yeah, so
I
this
watch
was
it again.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, "Oh, that's an instant classic. That needs to go on the eventual best of Kate McKinnon
on the reel
set." Not that they do those anymore, but
no, they do not.
But because now we live in an era where you can literally look up practically any SNL sketch,
that's right,
and watch it on YouTube or something. Yeah. But
what a time to be alive!
What a time to be alive! But
by the way, this one they were parodying the movie To Have and Have Not,
mm-hmm.
and she was Lauren Bacall, mm-hmm. of course, the iconic line, "You know how to whistle, don't you?"
Mm-hmm.
Flip together and blow.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she doesn't know how to whistle.
She doesn't. She just like does like.
Yeah. And I saw her again. She was breaking a little bit in this.
She was breaking a little bit. She cracked herself up. We had John Mulaney as Bogart, not really even trying to imitate Bogart.
Yeah, how can you?
It was just, well, when you're John Mulaney, apparently it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think it'd work, because like John Mulaney does kind of talk old-timey.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here, sweetheart?
Yes, he does have that cadence.
I thought I told you to scram there, Dame.
And but the joke is that Kate McKinnon is Lauren Bacall, and she's trying to give this sort of sensual, sexy goodbye, right. And she's just flubbing it horribly. And at one point, she just went, "Maybe I'm gay. What do you think?" Which, love that line.
Yeah,
and I think possibly a closing line for this podcast.
Maybe I'm gay. You want to end on it? You
want to? Yeah, we can just end every week on "Maybe I'm gay." What do you think?
I feel like that might be problematic, but I don't know.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. You don't have to like the idea.
Let me think on that.
I just wanted to float the balloon.
Float it out there.
You know.
Let me think about it. Give me a day.
Okay.
Let's ruminate on that.
All right. I enjoyed this one. I didn't think it was as good as the previous Casablanca sketch that they did a couple years ago with J.K. Simmons, but. Right. But it was amusing.
It was amazing. I thought it was
Kate McKinnon makes a surprisingly good Lauren Bacall. She looked quite a bit like Lauren Bacall at times, I thought.
Yeah, she did all right. She's killing the game in this.
Yes, as
I said.
Yes.
I think I said that twice, but I'll say
yeah,
it again.
But
that was it. It was weird. Like that sketch kind of ended abruptly, too, and then they did another performance, and then they just ended the show. That was kind of it.
Yeah, and they did have a little card for Margaret Carol Yee?
Carole.
Okay.
K-A-R-O-L-Y-I.
Right. And you looked up a little information on her.
Yes.
I saw you tweeted that.
Yes. She was a costume and wardrobe. She worked for SNL for over 30 years. She was there from 1978 to 2013.
Wow.
That's a big chunk of time, like over 3 decades.
That's a hell of a run. God, when you think about like all the stuff that she must have seen,
she was
and all the stories that she had to tell.
So, R.I.P. Margaret Carolli.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But
and that was the episode. I mean, overall, I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it was as strong as when the first time Mulaney hosted, but I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was a really solid show. I think this honestly might have been my favorite of the season so far.
Ooh.
I thought it was a generally pretty consistent show. I thought, I mean, there were certainly some sketches that were weaker than others, but right. I thought there was enough strong stuff or enough unexpected funny stuff that I really liked it. I was really inclined.
Okay.
I didn't hate the musical guest,
there
which is always nice.
Ringing endorsement for Thomas Rhett. Thomas.
I enjoyed him. Yeah, Thomas Rhett, he had a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm.
Right. Get up and go.
That's right.
Got some toe tappers.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, for the most part, this episode was okay. I thought it was good. I really liked the What's My Name sketch. And the sketch was right. The Bodega sketch, that was just...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so over the top. I couldn't hate it.
I mean, John Mulaney's fingerprints were all over this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, just because of the weird left turns that things were making and how specific things got.
Yes.
And the tangents that went on.
Yeah.
And, it was just you could tell John Mulaney rolled up his sleeves and really got in the writer's room just and resurrected a lot of his old sketches, apparently.
Just did his old stuff.
So.
Just pure, raw, uncut Mulaney. What?
Just going to leave that there.
Whatever. You know what I meant, guys. And, and that's the episode. Next up, next week, we got Idris Elba and Khalid.
Is it Idris or Idris?
I don't know.
Okay, we got another.
I say Idris. Some people say Idris. It's potato, potato. I say Idris. I think it's...
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Idris.
It's Idris. Okay.
Yeah. And, you remember... All right, so I looked this up. Remember last time I mentioned on the podcast how I thought he was a doorman at a comedy club?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Looked it up. According to an interview he did in GQ,
he
was the doorman for the world-famous Caroline's in Manhattan.
Wow, when was this?
I don't know.
Okay.
he was there. I don't think it said in the interview, but...
So, obviously, like, before The Wire.
Yeah, before The Wire, before he was big. He did work as a doorman at Caroline's.
That's interesting. Did he ever do comedy or stand-up himself? Because, I mean, usually, like, the people doing those jobs are comics themselves.
No, I don't think so. But I think he definitely worked the door. And I did notice that another thing, like I noticed, he has a now he has a Netflix show coming out soon called like Turn Up Charlie, I believe.
Okay.
It's basically like he plays this DJ who's like an eternal bachelor, and he like takes a side gig as a nanny because he has to, because he's out of money. But that's taken from the fact that he actually is and moonlights as a DJ. You can get
what?
You can get, apparently he's been a DJ since he was 19 and he loves being a DJ.
I had no idea.
If you have enough money, you can get Idris Elba. You have Idris Elba DJ your party.
You know, Paul Rudd used to work as a DJ too.
He did
bar and bat mitzvahs. You can look up, somebody has like footage of an old bat mitzvah he did. And he was like a party DJ.
I think somebody showed that on
and,
TV somewhere.
Yeah, and he became like an in-demand DJ because, like, he said one time he was so fed up, he just started dancing comically to the music because he was just so fed up and fried from his job. And it was so funny that that became his thing.
Oh, that he'd be
and then he was in demand for doing the comical dances at the birthdays and the bar and bat mitzvahs. Oh,
and that's set him aside from all
And this was like early 90s Paul Rudd, I think, when he was still a struggling actor.
Just doing
like
cha-cha slide.
Pre-Clueless.
Yeah.
Was the cha-cha slide around back then?
Yeah, cha-cha slide's been around forever.
How long has it been around for?
I'm going to, maybe the 90s, but definitely, like, I would definitely say, like, early 90s it's been around.
Wow.
From what I remember. It's not like a new thing.
I had no idea. I was thinking that song was maybe 10 years old max, but I guess it just took a while to filter down to the white people.
Yes, exactly, before you appropriate it.
It takes us a while to catch on to things, people.
Hey, have you guys heard this word woke? Apparently it's all the rage.
I haven't heard the word woke in a minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Some guy said it in Brooklyn, so I'm like, hey, I gotta use it.
Have you heard about this new slang term?
it's hot.
It's hot. It's hip. It's fresh. It's funky
it's
fresh.
It's where it's at.
But
Idris Elba and
Khalid.
Khalid.
Musical guesting.
I don't know much about him. I know he's an R&B singer, and I will listen to his album and get back to you on that.
Okay. Okay. But it's going to be fun. I look forward to seeing what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Should be
on the show, and it'll be fun seeing what insane news stories happen between now and next Saturday.
If the world's still here, it's hopefully SNL will be able to
everything's going to be on fire.
Yes.
Everything is going to be on fire.
And there will be a sketch about it on Saturday, hopefully.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so that's our podcast today.
I want to mention one other thing that's tangentially SNL related.
What? What now? I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Aggressive. The sitcom AP Bio by former SNL writer and cast member Mike O'Brien, that's coming back to NBC on Thursday.
Oh,
and
nice.
I really fell in love with this show last season. It's got Glenn Howerton from
Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And Patton Oswalt is in it, and former SNL writer.
Yes.
And I think she was a producer as well. Paul Pell is in it as Patton Oswalt's assistant. Funny, funny show. Hilarious show.
All right.
Check it out if you have not already. That is a free plug for AP Bio.
Plugola. All right. AP Bio.
Some SNL alums.
Check it out, people.
As long as we're plugging, maybe we should plug ourselves.
How about that? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. I mean, I don't have much going on right now, but if you want to follow me, I'm on Instagram and the Twitter at Darren Credible. Mm-hmm. And check out my website, DarrenCredible.com. Has all my dates and what have you. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can find me on the social media at Trumbull Comic. You can figure out how to spell my name from the show notes because I don't want to spell it. Catch on.
Just figure it out yourself.
Figure it out.
Do it your damn self.
Yeah.
We can't lead you by the hand, people.
That's right. That's right. And you
give
can
a man
also
a fish and,
you can,
and such.
Right. You can also follow the official show Twitter page at SNL Nerds Show on Twitter.
Somebody has SNL Nerds.
Yeah, that's fine. We're fine with it. We're building a following. We're closing in on 100 followers on Twitter.
That's right.
And we really want to go into the triple digits.
Yes, be the 100th person.
That's right. That's right. If you are the 100th person, we will give you a shout out on the next episode of this podcast.
Yes,
so,
and donate to the Patreon, please.
Yes, you can go to non-productive.com and donate to the Patreon, and you can indicate that you are contributing because of the SNL Nerds.
Yes.
And we will give you a shout out on the show. And if you're a Patreon, you will get the latest episode of the show a little early.
Just a little bit.
A few hours early on the Mondays, so you can gloat to your friends and be like, ha ha, I heard the episode and you haven't. You're a loser.
I'm a winner.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Wow. Now who's aggressive? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can do that. And that's all we got, people.
That's all we got. We're going to be here next week, as we always are. And I think that was everything that we wanted to plug.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm gay. What do you think?
I said let me think about it before you said
I just
that.
Wanted to try it. I wanted to see how it felt.
Oh, boy. How'd it feel?
Felt pretty good.
Okay.
Felt pretty good.
I support you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.